Amen. Everything we have to offer to God is a sacrifice of praise to Him, or it should be. That's how He is glorified, and that's how He is worshiped, not just here, but in our day-to-day life as well. It was May the 19th, 1780, in a New England town of Hartford, Connecticut, which will go down as maybe one of the more astounding days that would have many people thought was the judgment day was coming. The day started out innocent enough and well enough that blue skies and all in the morning, but by noon, gray clouds had kind of taken over, and it was a gray, dungy day. By mid-afternoon, the darkness of the day, you could almost cut it with a knife. It was so fearful and so imposing that people started falling to their knees. The House of Representation that day was meeting in Hartford as well, and many men there began to fall to their knees because they thought the day of judgment was coming and was upon them. And some even called for an immediate adjournment of the House so the folks could go home and take care of things. Colonel Davenport, who was the Speaker of the House, stood that day, and these are the words that are attributed to him. He said, "The judgment day may be upon us, or it may not be. If it is not, then there's no need for an immediate adjournment. If it is, I prefer to be found doing my task and my duty if it is the end." I was thinking, man, what are some profound words? I want to be found following my task and the duty that had been assigned to me if it is the end. That sounds like a man pretty highly committed to things, does it not? And then I began to think in terms, how many things do we commit our lives to today? Some by choice, some just kind of natural draws us into it. And there are so many things that we give our commitment of our lives to today that and it occupies our time and occupies our minds and occupies our resources that we give to them. However, as we walk in faith, or we take a walk in faith, it's the object of our faith that really should direct our commitment. And here's kind of a big thought for the day that we're going to hang on to, all right? Commitment without faith misses God. All right? Let that sink in for a second. Commitment without faith misses God because it's the object of our faith. Our faith in God should be what drives our commitment. It's because I believe God, therefore I'm going to follow God and I commit myself to Him more and more and more because I have faith in Him. We're going to look into two men's lives today. So find in your Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And we're going to see how this is lived out in the two men's lives. Now, the two young men that we're going to mention today, Hebrews chapter 4, or chapter 11, verse 4. If you're using a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 175 in the second part of the book because it begins to renumber with the New Testament. So there you find Hebrews 11 and can find verse 4. And these two young men, again, that we're going to look into life, you know them. You've read about them. They come to us from the book of Genesis. Cain and Abel, they are brothers. We know that Cain kills his brother Abel over a sacrifice that was being made because Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and Cain's was not. Cain was committed, but he seemed to be committed more to his own way of life and to doing things his own way, and therein lies a huge difference. The walk of faith, again, has us committed to following God in the way God tells us to or in following God's ways. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11. Pick up in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteousness, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Now, when we walk in faith and we follow in God, there's something that takes place and happens. Jump down to verse 6, and it kind of gives us what takes place, or some of what takes place. It says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that rewards those who seek Him." So those who live out the walk of faith, those who are living and following God by faith, they're going to please God. In other words, His glory is going to be seen and showed from our lives. So again, as we walk in faith, commitment, if there is no faith, it's going to miss God. Now, let's notice a few things about Abel and Cain's life through this that can teach us some things about faith. Here's the first one, all right? First one, my worship of God is an extension of my faith. Did you catch that? My worship of God is an extension of my faith, because if I don't have faith in God, I'm really not going to worship Him. Now, let's surmise a few things about what we read in this one verse about Cain and Abel both. They both went to worship. So God had given some sense of what worship was to be like, all right? They both had an altar that they went to. They both made a sacrifice. They both had a place of worship. So, again, God had given some sort of instructions of some sort of how to worship and what he was expecting. They both worshiped. They both knew it was important to worship God. You know, you have to be committed to worship God. You have to be committed to show up on Sundays to worship. And show up for Bible study. I mean, it takes a little extra commitment to show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday on a continual basis, consistent basis, to worship. You know, the new norm today in our society, with believers in particular, is that if you show up once a month or twice every 3 months, you're considered regular in your worship practice. I'm not so sure that's correct, but that kind of seems to be the practice today. So it takes a little extra effort. I mean, after getting up early every day, going to work, or getting up early, getting all the tasks done every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday, it seems like you're running around doing all your errands and getting things done, and then Sunday is the day to rest. And it seems like all the kids' activities happen over the weekend as well, Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, I've got to have some time to rest. I have to have some time for myself. So something has to give, right? Something has to move around in the priorities. And typically what happens is God gets moved to the back seat. And so we don't worship sometimes like we should. But see, a person of faith and commitment, priority of worship is there. So we know, again, from reading here that there's been some instructions given about worship or even a way of worship. Why else would one sacrifice be more acceptable than the other sacrifice? There had to be some sort of indications there. God had given some pre-described ideas of offering. And Abel gave God what God had asked for, and Cain gave, well, what Cain thought he could give or what he wanted to give. And this teaches us something else about faith. Faith will cause me to give God what he asked. See, if my worship is an extension of my faith to God, then when God asks me to give something, I'm going to give it because of the faith I have. Now, again, we can note something here about Abel. There's something we can surmise about his life. God, you have asked for this particular offering, this particular sacrifice to be made to you, and you said, if I would offer this sacrifice, you promised that you would bring salvation to me, that you would bring salvation. Abel's faith in God led him to this commitment of God, that he trusted him and he believed in what he said. Now, Cain, too, he believed God because he brought an offering, though he didn't necessarily trust and have faith in God because he thought he could do what he wanted to in this regard. He didn't necessarily obey God and take his promises at heart. You know, Jesus exposed the same thing in the New Testament with the Pharisees. In a conversation he was having with them one day, he said, you know, you worship God with your mouths, but your heart is far from him. And he says, he relating it to the tithes and offerings, he says, you give down to the penny, to the mite, but yet you forget the weightier things of the gospel, of justice and mercy and faithfulness. It's not that you shouldn't give, you should, but don't forget the other things as well. Cain only gave the appearance of following God, though he really wasn't. See, faith sacrifices the self to give what God asks. That's real worship. That's honest worship. That's authentic worship. We give to God no matter what he asks, and that puts us in a place of obedience. So faith then causes me to bring changes to my life. There's some things that I may sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice some of my resources, the monies. I'm going to sacrifice sometimes some of the things I'm going to consider pleasurable that I enjoy doing and like doing. I may even sacrifice certain relationships or certain things that I'm going to include in my household or exclude from my household. There's certain things I may do in my job and not do at my job because, again, I have this faith commitment that I've made with God. The driving force in my life then becomes that I trust God and I have faith in him for here and now and into the future and eternity. I might need to back up and make this statement about faith. Faith will bring salvation. Matter of fact, that's the only way to find salvation, is through faith. Abel, because of his sacrifice, because he followed God, he trusted God, and he was considered righteous. That's That's what we read. Now get this. Abel was just as sinful as Cain was. Hence the need to offer a sacrifice. Abel, his faith, followed God and did what God asked him to do, and then God moved on his behalf. And it's really the same today. You know, we, by faith, go to God through his son, Jesus. Because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, because of the resurrection, we go in faith believing that if we accept that salvation from God, we commit our lives to him, that God will do what he promised that he would do. Cleanse the sin from our lives, and we would have an eternity with him in heaven. We follow through that day-to-day experience because we've been saved. There's certain things that happen in our life and certain things that we won't include in our lives. Jesus told Jews that the Jews that were following him in John 8 says, if you follow me and you do as I hold to my teaching, you will be my disciples, or you are my disciples. So as we follow the words that Jesus, that's the second part of the Great Commission, you know, teaching everything that I've commanded you. If I'm learning everything that Jesus commanded, everything that Jesus taught, then I'm following them and I've committed my life to him, then I'm truly his disciple. See, here's another element of faith that we find here. Faith will lead me to always be obedient. Faith will always lead me to be obedient. Obedience is the evidence of our life that we trust God. Abel was not considered righteous because of what he did. No, he was considered righteous because he had trust, or he had faith in God, and that caused him to do certain things because he believed God. We, as individuals, and even us as a church, we like to carry a cash reserve with us. All right, we want to have some extras in case for those emergencies that come up, or some things that happen. And we, as a church, we've been working for a while, and we've built up a decent cash reserve. It's not as good as some of us would like, but we do have a cash reserve because we've worked hard and diligently to get there. Just suppose that God impresses upon leadership in the church that we're going to take $25,000 to $30,000 of that reserve that we have, and we're going to make it available next year for anyone who wants to go on a mission trip in 2019. We're going to make sure you have the funds, and we're going to pay your way that you'll go on mission for God. What's your first thoughts? Well, we're not meeting the budget now. What if something happens? I mean, there are so many things that need to be done to our buildings, and we're even trying to raise funding now that takes care of some of those needs. And now we're going to use some of our cash reserves in case some of those things break down and we have to replace them. You know, we really need to be putting things back. We need to be saving. We need to make plans so that we can take care of things here first. We. Where was God? Where's the thoughts about God's direction and God's leadership and what God's wanting and what God's calling us to? See, it's whether or not we're going to trust God. It's whether or not we're going to take the step of faith with God when he asks us to do, no matter what it costs us, no matter how it might look on paper, no matter what it's going to cost us up front, that we're believing this is what God wants and we're going to take the step of faith because we're going to commit our whole life to it. Maybe on a more personal level. Say God calls you into an area of ministry. Maybe it's full-time. Maybe it's part-time. Maybe it's going to be in your spare time. What changes would you make right now, this very minute? What things would you begin to change in your life right now so that you can make that calling that God's placing upon you a reality? See, it's the steps of faith that you would make in the commitment that you have toward God to make it real. Will I become obedient to God, or will I do things just the way that I see it, and I'm going to do things on my own terms? Abel followed God. Cain, well, he kind of followed himself. And what happened? What happened? Because Cain kind of followed his own thinking. He became angry and killed his brother Abel. Isn't that kind of how it happens? A person or a group of people who cannot see the steps of faith that need to be taken, or unwilling to take the steps of faith that need to be taken, though they will do everything they can to stop those who are willing to step out in faith. That's what happens with Cain and Abel. Abel was taking the steps of faith that God wanted him to. Cain could not see it happening. And so Cain did everything he could, down to even killing his own brother, so that he wouldn't have to take the same steps of faith. Or at least he thought he wouldn't have to. You know what I also find intriguing here? The first murder that happens with humanity, the very first murder that takes place over a worship time. The first murder that takes place in history happens over what's going to be given to God and not given to God, what's going to be done for God and what's not going to be done for God. Pride, opinions, what I'm willing to do, what I'm not willing to do, became more important than following in faith with God. You see, if we're willing to live by faith, we will always do what God asks of us. Catch that? If we are following and living by faith, we will always do what God is asking us to do. I mean, how many of you could say this? How many of you could pray this prayer? God, whatever it is you want from my life, I'll do it. Can you, God, give God a blank sheet of paper? Here, God, you fill out the contract. Here's my name at the end, and I've signed the date. Or, God, here's a check. I've signed it. I've dated it. You fill in the amount. God, whatever it is you want out of my life, can you do that? Well, it depends on where your faith is and where your faith that led you to commitment to God is. God says, I want you to change Sunday school classes. Not just so that you can sit because you like one teacher better than another. It's because you're going to go to the Sunday school class and you're going to help it do outreach. You're going to help this Sunday school class make sure it has a presence in the community. Not in the church, in the community. And that's what you're going to do in this class. For the next 6 months, you're going to give X number of dollars to missions. For the next 6 months, you're going to give X number of dollars to capital improvements for the church. What can you do? What will you do? What steps are you going to take to make that a reality now? See, what comes to your mind first when you hear things like that? I can't do that. I'm not sure I even want to do that. That's not the way we normally do things around here. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. Where does God fit into this plan? Where does God fit in me hearing Him and listening to Him and taking those steps of faith with Him? See, my faith is an extension of my worship to God. The steps of faith I take are showing where I will fulfill my commitment to God as well. One last thought here. God speaks to others through my faith. That's what happens in verse 4. God speaks through my faithfulness. Now get this, God is testifying here. Whew, man, how would you like that? That God is testifying, God is telling other people about how you're following Him and how you're living out your life of faith. And God's telling others through generations about your life. I mean, if God sat down and talked with someone about your faith, what would He tell others about your faith? And how well you're following Him. Now, read the rest of that verse. It says, and although Abel is dead, he still speaks. Man, what a legacy. What a legacy to leave behind for thousands upon thousands of years. People are reading about Abel and his faith that he followed God. Oh, that the same thing would be said about us thousands of years from now. Oh, that the same thing would be said about my own life thousands of years from now. He was a person that followed God in faith. No matter what it cost him, he was willing to follow God. You see, our faith in God will lead others to a faith in God. How I live my faith out with God will lead others or have the opportunity to lead others in faith with God. Jesus was at a dinner party. They were sitting around the table and they were eating and people kind of going and coming. bringing food in and that sort of thing and just taking care of things, as the word. Mary came in carrying this bottle. Most in the house probably didn't even notice she was carrying it until she cracked it open. Then everyone knew it was a very expensive bottle of perfume. So expensive, we're told, that it was worth a person's entire year's wages. Today, that would be a person's yearly wage. Average medium income for a person in the United States is about $31,000 a year, give or take a little. So Mary's just cracked open this bottle that cost $31,000, and she just dumps the whole thing over the top of Jesus' head. I'm sure, because when she cracked open, everybody in the household knew what she did. They knew what it was. And then when they saw her pour it on the top of Jesus' head, you could probably have heard the collective. And then the word started coming. Mary, you're foolish in this. Mary, you shouldn't have done that. Mary, you've wasted so much money. Mary, we could have done so many things. And Jesus says, stop, stop, stop. What she has done for me. And what she has done for me will be a lasting memorial to her. She took a huge step of faith and gave an extravagant gift. The cost was way too much, they were saying. We ask, how much is it going to cost? You know, we could have done this, we could have done this, we could have done that, we could take care of all these other things. But God asked us to give. And He said He would direct us how to go. I love us as church people. I really do. Frustrating at times, but I do love us. You know, we give, and then we get mad when we don't have say in how the money's spent. Irregardless of what the pastor or leadership says we might need to do with some money, I didn't. That's not what it was meant to give for. I didn't get to vote on that. Jesus said, stop, stop. This was done for me. Abel, you're crazy for giving that. Abel, you're crazy for going to those extremes and preparing to give like that. What I give is just as good. Really? What did God say? How did God put it? Now, here's the kicker. How many decisions have we made in our lives? How many decisions have we made as families? How many decisions have we made about business? Or how many decisions have we made about church? And we've never stopped and asked, what is it God says? What is it that God wants? Where is God going? You see, when we live in faith and we're committed, we do what God asks us to do no matter what it costs. And here's the last thing you need to catch, and you're going to want to write this one down. Faith testimony will reveal God's glory. Faith testimony will reveal God's glory. Remember, He said it's impossible to please God without faith. So when we live and we walk in faith and we're committed to God in our faith to follow and trust Him, no matter how it looks, no matter what others are saying, or no matter what it may cost us, that's where the glory of God is seen and experienced by others. We've read what faith said about Abel. What does your faith say about you? Is faith saying to you, you need to accept God through His Son, Jesus? Because of His sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection, that you need to receive the gift of salvation and then live committed to Him and take that faith step of commitment to God? Did your faith say that you need to be obedient to God and step out where it may be unknown? Step out to that call to give or to call to ministry or a call to mission or to authentically really worshiping God for who He is, not because this is the way I want to worship Him. What's your faith saying about your life? And do you need to take now and turn around and take a step of faith toward God with a new commitment to what He asks? Let's pray together. God, we thank You. God, I thank You that You still speak to us through Abel. Though he has been dead thousands of years, but his faithfulness, his commitment to follow You still does speak to us. So God, I pray. I pray for those of us who need to take a step of faith and walk with You in a new commitment of life with You, and a renewed commitment that we've laid down or we've forgotten about, or maybe we've gotten caught up in just doing the things that we like to do, like Cain was doing. But now today, God, we want to take the step of faith and live like Abel, highly committed, highly revering, showing Your glory from our lives. So God, I pray that through these next few moments while we sing, Your Spirit would have such a freedom in our lives and our minds that we would step out and follow You, no matter what it might cost us, because, God, we are committing our life to You. So help us to follow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. As we sing, You Come, You Move, as God prompts you, as He's leading you to do so.